Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. The folk trio Bonnie Light Horseman has a distinct musical goal. The group works to transform traditional folk music into contemporary songs. Comprised of Tony Winner and Hadestown creator Anais Mitchell, producer Josh Kaufman, and Fruit Bat's frontman, Eric Johnson. Eric joins us now to discuss the band's self-titled debut.
We've got Anais Mitchell in the band and Josh Kaufman. Anais, she's fairly known for her solo work for years, incredible songwriter, and then has had kind of an explosively crazy last couple of years in that she has this song cycle, Hadestown, that turned into a Broadway phenomenon, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then Josh Kaufman is one of the greatest secret weapons in all of modern music.
Wow.
He's just sort of a magical presence. He's a producer and a songwriter and this sort of very low-key, behind-the-scenes guy. It's been very fun being in a band with him where he gets to be kind of the guy.
Mm. So how did you meet Anais and Josh?
Anais, I met the stupidest way possible, which was on the internet. she shouted me out on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Which is, you know, sometimes good things happen on Twitter, and that was one of them. She was kind of a new to Fruit Bat's listener and did the thing, was like, I love this band, and tagged me. And I had, funnily enough, just kind of started digging her music, too.
Oh, cool.
So we sort of had discovered each other. And then Josh I've known for years. We've worked on lots of sort of small, short-term musical projects with him, but nothing huge. And I always knew I wanted to do something big with him, and then he was working on this thing with Anais, and it all kind of came together. In the magpie's nest. In the magpie's
nest. In the magpie's nest. Where did the idea to reimagine old, possibly forgotten folk songs come from?
It started with those two. Anais, she's from Vermont. She grew up with folk music in her house. Josh and I are way more kids of rock and roll and top 40 radio.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, he and I are kind of coming from the side door of the Grateful Dead and the Byrds and Bob Dylan and things like that. So I've always been interested in folk rock and then working my way backwards.
Right. Where does the group's name Bonnie Light Horseman, where does that come from?
That is, well, that's one of the songs. We always joke the name of this band and the name of the song and the name of the album is all the same thing.
Yes, the title track. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the song is old and it comes from the Napoleonic Wars.
Oh, Napoleon Bonaparte, you're the cause of my woe, since my Bonnie Light Horseman.
I mean, it's just a song of incredible sadness. It's this completely hopeless story of a man who's gone to war and his love kind of singing of it and kind of singing about being a dove flying across the sea to find him. And you don't really get the end of the story, but you know it's not good.
And if I was some small bird, and if I had wings to fly, I would fly over the ocean.
But it was just a collection of words that feel very elemental and kind of simple. And we had a few band names. We were trying to come up with band names, and we had that song already. And somehow, that just became the name of the band. I'm not exactly sure how we landed on it, but it needed to be.
Your version manages to convey this really contemporary sense of emotional immediacy. How did the three of you accomplish this?
That was, I think that's something that has really resonated with people with that song and the whole album. Anais has said time and time again, which I always like to quote her, that this is not a research project. So there's sort of two ways you could approach this type of music. You could go research project, honoring the root of it. You could go dramatically in the opposite direction and be like, we're going to put this under 808 techno beats and there's going to be synthesizers and just be like very futuristic with it or sort of take it in the most unexpected direction possible. And we sort of did neither of those. It was a middle path.
Yeah. And
I think that it's shocking when you sort of start digging through these songs how the human experience and human condition has just remained the same since year zero. And yeah, I think that's just people are sort of feeling that. So we didn't set out to do it. We just the songs are there.
Yeah. So what did you set out to do? Because there's clearly, you know, there's a difference between the original version and your version. So I mean, with this song in particular, the title track and the name of the band, Bonnie Light Horseman, what were you trying to do? Did you have a goal in mind? Like, let's, you know what I'm trying to ask?
I think we we had a goal, I think, of just like this emotional impact, you know, mm-hmm. and then these songs are these durable pieces of work, you know, and then like with any song though, like if you wrote a song in the studio, if it's like an original song or something like that, you go in and then this chord becomes this chord and this word gets changed or something like that, and things just sort of slowly melt into what they need to be.
I
think that there was that. There was the fact that we recorded a lot of this in Berlin while without a lot of time and with being very jet lagged. So I think there is a little bit of like a dream sort of fugue state quality to some of these that I think was really effective. Could have been bad, but wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think we all really love each other too. My wife always kind of says, wow, it's just, when I hear this record, I hear the affection for each other, like the way we sing and play together. And
yeah.
I think that was a very real thing, too.
How do you discover these old folk songs, and how do you decide which ones you want to reimagine?
They were kind of all over the place. There was a few things that Aeneas had been enamored of, but there was not a mandate for how this was going to work either. Josh has this excellent book that, now I'm trying to remember the name of it. It has something, a very simple name like Folk Songs of the British Isles or something. It's a gigantic sort of more textbooky type book. That has all these old songs.
Mm.
So we sort of had this Bible. That was a little bit of the Bible. They had picked a few, which I don't even know how they came up with. And when I came to New York to work with them, I had a couple things that I was interested in. Jane was one that I brought into the fold. Deep in Love was a song that was just a melody that I had that was a Fruit Bats demo that didn't pan out. And then Josh very excitedly was like, I have the lyrics for that. It was in that book.
Ooh, yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. The second track on the album is Deep in Love, and it sounds like it would be at home on a Fruit Bats record, which is your main recording project. And can you tell us a bit more about the source material of the song and how far you strayed from the original version?
I couldn't tell you that I've ever heard the original version of that song. I don't know what it sounds like. We just had the lyrics. I had that chorus, which was Don't You Break My Heart. And then I had this these verses that were just sort of do-do-do, la-la-la, kind of wordless melody. And Josh, you know, this is like, sounds made up, but completely true. He just opened to that page and said, sing those lyrics over that melody. And it fit completely perfectly. We cut several verses, too, which you often do with these. A lot of these songs are truly epic. So we just sort of went with the verses that spoke to us. But every single one of these songs on the record kind of has a different story like that.
The Roving is up next on the record, featuring Aeneas on vocals. How did you guys reconfigure this song?
So that song and Deep in Love came up around the same time, which was we had done this Berlin session, which was this kind of whirlwind. And then we had a couple of days to sort of finish things up in Woodstock, New York. And Deep in Love was sort of an 11th hour entrant, as was The Roving. And The Roving is one of those I had mentioned, like some of these songs are a couple of different songs pasted together. That was one. Mm. And Aeneas had put that together, and that's based on a song called Loving Hannah.
I could see her mind was a-changing.
I knew her love was changing
by the roving of her eye.
By the roving of her eye.
By the roving of her eye.
The roving, the roving of her eye.
We learned it sort of the day we recorded it. Yeah, and then she changed the name Hannah to Annie, which is the name of my wife and also the name of Josh's wife.
Oh, interesting.
As a little nod.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. An homage, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
The material on your album ranges from pretty faithful to the original to extreme Frankensteinian assembly of bits and pieces. How do the three of you decide how much tinkering to do with each song?
Something like Jane Jane, that's a Frankenstein of Jane Jane, and also a Christmas song called Children Go Where I Send Thee.
Children go where I send thee.
Lordy,
how will I send thee? Oh, I'm gonna send thee one by one.
But that, somebody else actually had mashed those up already, which is this singer-songwriter named Tia Blake, who was a 1970s sort of obscure American folk singer. And we really just... There's a lot of versions of that, but
yeah.
I was just madly in love with that version of hers.
Hey, hey, my Lord and Lord, I'm gonna buy three.
And your version of Jane Jane also seems, strikes me as pretty faithful to the Peter, Paul, and Mary version from the mid-1960s.
It definitely is, and I didn't even know that version until after we had started, we sort of referenced that one too, and I was like, oh, because I think probably the Tia Blake version might be based on that one too. So, but again, this is just the story of folk music.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Here.
Three by three for the Hebrew children,
two for Paul and Silas, one for the itty bitty baby, born in Bethlehem.
Hey, hey.
What does it say about all of these old songs that they're able to maintain their power and impact when you're adding new lyrics and new structures to them?
I think Aeneas always refers to the, or, and this was, she's quoting someone else, but I can't remember who, which is, you can't break these songs. These are, and we've used the word durability a lot, or durable.
That's
with
a
these.
Great word, yeah.
I think it's kind of unbreakable, and it's meant to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny when there's folk music dogma, because I'm like, well, how do you be dogmatic about something that's so so ever-evolving and so old?
Yeah. The last song on the album is called 10,000 Miles, and it's been recorded in many forms by many artists. The lyrics and the story are pretty universal, and they kind of even remind me of a song like Boots of Spanish Leather by Bob Dylan. Do you think Bobby Z had 10,000 miles in mind when he wrote Boots of Spanish Leather?
That's a good question. I mean, Bobby Z, I think we would have been buds with him back
in
64.
Yeah, I think so, too. Really good buds. Really good buds.
But I'd like to think, at least.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, again, we're all kind of drinking from the same well a little bit, too. And then, of course, he wasn't after a few years, which I also am like, I think we're going to do our own plug-in at Newport thing, I'm sure, at some point, and piss some people off. But I think, like, he was certainly a very important artist for me, and it's because he was doing exactly what I'm talking about, which is he had a lot of respect for history, and then he had a lot of disrespect for history in a good way, I think, you know, sort of the right kind of disrespect.
Oh, I'm sailing away, my own true love.
Fare thee well, my own true love.
Mm. Yeah. So is Bonnie Light Horseman a one-time recording project, or are there more reimaginings in your future?
No, there's reimaginings in the future. We actually
Excellent.
Already have writing/brainstorming sessions starting to brew. And we really love each other, too. It's a good hang.
And the seas, they will burn, my love. The sun, it will dry the ocean up. If I never return.
Eric Johnson is a member of the band Bonnie Light Horseman. Find out more at wpr.org/beta.
We wanted to keep this about canine actors, but of course I love all these classic animated films as well. They're really great dog roles.
Wendy Mitchell joins us to talk about her book, Citizen Canine, Dogs in the Movies. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.